Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Then Aaron saw this. He built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people.
A reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen."
Let us pray. Lord, uphold me as I uplift you, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you, God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we heard readings today from the Gospel according to Matthew and from the book of Exodus. And I wonder, what do these passages have in common? I want to suggest, and don't think I'm a heretic, that these are about parties. They are about celebrations. In Matthew, there was a huge banquet, and that was the central theme of the story, a wedding banquet complete with exquisite dresses, phenomenal food, and high-profile guests. It was probably the most sought-after event of the year. Did you watch Bridgerton? If you, like me, watched it, and I'm only talking about the events in Bridgerton, we could be reminded of how important it was to be invited to the season's signal event, hosted by the Queen herself. The ecstasy that people revealed when they got an invitation, or the devastation that was evident when they realized they weren't invited. Such was the nature of the wedding banquet described in Matthew's gospel. It was going to be the party of the year. If one set of guests didn't attend, well, we'll find another. The party was going to go on. Never mind those who tried to stop it, those I like to call the party poopers. And what about the party in Exodus? Well, as I see it in my mind's eye, I see the scene described as the golden calf got formed and raised, and people looked at it and decided it was time to party. It was a celebration. There was clearly a different kind of energy around this party. Not like the one described in Matthew, not like the Bridgerton ball with the exquisite dresses. This was more of a hardcore party, more organic, filled with wild abandon and with the fiery spirit of the people involved. You know what this reminds me of? The culture from which I hail, Jamaica. Because, you know, there's always something happening in that good country. There's a kind of get-together that is known as bashment. It's actually in the Wikipedia dictionary. I just had to look. And when you look it up, it says it's a cultural phenomenon akin to dance hall. I would have to just go and explain all of that to you. That emerged in 1979 in Jamaica. Because that's what we do. We make stuff up that suits ourselves. So bashment, an organic kind of celebration. It could start in the street where one lived. People would just come together. Somebody would set up their huge stereo system because, but I don't know why, people people had stereo systems with huge boxes sitting inside their homes, including in mine, because my brother had. They were just there. So these would emerge, and there would be lots of music. And then people would come and bring whatever, whatever food, whatever drink. You didn't have to be dressed in a particular way, and sometimes the way you dressed became a fashion statement, bashment. And there was dancing in the streets, and people could just be whoever they were. Our Caribbean, Jamaican nature came to the fore organically. It was going to be loud, because not just music and dancing, but people would be talking to each other. I don't know how they did it, because I wasn't allowed to go, but they'd be right up on the music box. But there was a conversation going on anyway. No need for a special invitation to come to the bashment. No special dress code. Just contribute whatever you had. Like the golden calf. You had one earring that you didn't know what to do with. Throw it in the smelting pot. All the gold together from everybody. Contribute what you could. And make the calf. That's how I envisage what happened at the golden calf party. Bashment! Until the party poopers arrived. And in this case, the party poopers are God and Moses. God spoke to Moses and told him, you know, we're up here having a great conversation, but those people down there are doing a thing. Go see what they're up to. And Moses goes down and see that they were doing a thing indeed. And it was a thing that had been causing them to be separated from God. They had sinned, not because they were having a party. The party wasn't the sin, because Jesus loves a party. You know, he was accused of being a wine bibber and such. But they had done something that's caused the separation between themselves and God. They had replaced God with a golden calf. Now they were celebrating the calf. Now they were having that as the center of their attention, something that they had created, and all their focus was fixed on it. God had instructed Moses not only to go back, but to go and deal with the people. Not just see what they were up to, but deal with them. So these people who had forgotten God and replaced God with something of their own making, that was the picture that greeted Moses. And he was stunned. He wasn't stunned into stillness. In fact, he was angry. And he smashed dramatically the tablets containing the writing, which he had just received from God. And as he broke those tablets, as they shattered on the ground, so the relationships that had been formed shattered along with the tablets. The party came to an end, and the explanations and the excuses began. And inasmuch as I have related the two stories, I don't want us to stop there and be fixated on the parties, but to move to look at the relationships and how those relationships changed and were affected because of what was going on. When Moses broke those tablets, shattered them with dramatic flair, it symbolized the breaking of several relationships. First of all, the people had broken their relationship with God. They had forgotten the place that God held in their lives. They had forgotten how God had been working with them, moving them from one state of being to another, moving them from not having a voice to being able to ask for what they needed, when they needed water, when they needed food. In fact, demanding that they got some of those things. They couldn't do that where they were in Egypt. They forgot that this God had moved them from a state of being oppressed, of being enslaved, to the state of being able to chart their own destiny, freed to be their own selves, not what somebody else wanted them to be. They forgot. They broke that relationship. Secondly, their relationship with Moses also changed. They actually said, you know, as in part of the story, we don't know where this person who didn't grow up with us, we don't know where he is. And in that statement, they'd separated themselves from Moses in two ways. They didn't grow up with him. Is he really one of us? And then secondly, we don't know where he's gone. He said he was going somewhere. We don't know where he is. And it's now 40 days, or let's say 30 days. We don't know. How quickly they forgot how Moses had gone to Pharaoh and argued and negotiated on their behalf. How quickly they forgot how Moses had led them to this point, putting himself at risk many times on their behalf. They changed that relationship when they said to Aaron, "Moses isn't here, you become our leader. We want you." Yep, the relationship changed. And then thirdly, the relationship between Moses and Aaron changed. They were brothers, and they had worked together pretty well up to this point. Aaron was a key supporter of Moses, and in fact, if you cast your mind way back, when Moses was, you know, a little stuttery and saying, "I don't know how I'm going to do this," it was Aaron who was appointed to help him through that phase and to be his interpreter if he needed it and when he needed it. Moses lost a different part of Aaron, and the relationship changed. Aaron was supposed to be a leader, a spiritual guide. In fact, a whole other set of people were to come because of Aaron, who would be leading people spiritually. In a moment, Aaron had quickly acquiesced to the will of the people. "You be our leader, and then this is what we want you to do." He had been left in charge by his brother, but he didn't live up to the expectations and hopes placed on him when Moses left him in charge. The relationship changed. Broken relationships. And Moses is the party pooper in the midst of all of this. Yes. Even as Moses is angry at them, disappointed with his brother, his love for his people compelled him to go to bat for them yet again, because they had done something wrong. And there were going to be consequences. But what did he do? He pleaded with God on their behalf again. These same stiff-necked people who had changed their relationships. Moses asked God to grant them grace, and God did. Ha! Broken relationships. We're living in the world where lots of relationships have been broken. And especially now, we contrast the time of abundance, this harvest time, this Thanksgiving time, which marks this autumnal season. Just this past weekend, we in Canada celebrated Thanksgiving, and families got together, and sincere expressions of gratitude were offered around the table. The same will happen with our siblings in the South in November. Yes, Thanksgiving. And in the midst of all the celebrations, the stark reality of broken relationships comes through. So there is always the joke about Thanksgiving and what might be said at the Thanksgiving meal and the table and who might be there and when it might get awkward with the conversations. That's one thing. But as we celebrated Thanksgiving last weekend, it wasn't that was so much the challenge, but it was the specter of war. The specter which raised its ugly head again between Israel and Palestine. War in Ukraine. Instability in Haiti. Recurring atrocities in Afghanistan and Iran. And as we revel in the bold and vibrant colors of fall, we also have to wrestle with the broken relationships that exist in our world and right here in our families, in our families. Just as the relationship between Moses and his brother changed, there are many relationships in our families that have changed over the years. And you know what we like to say? They are complicated. Maybe not in your family, but certainly in mine. Broken relationships. Even as we at Jubilee United celebrate the inclusiveness that marks the community of Christ's church, and which the United Church of Canada also celebrates, we're conscious of the broken relationships which are even now causing some children concern, causing adults who do not feel accepted in their families or in their communities. Broken relationships, either because of what people have said to them or because of the laws that are being enacted. This community of faith, this space, has allowed folks to feel included, to feel that they belong. Are we continuing to expand or circle our relationships so that others might know healing because of us? What kind of healing needs are in your own personal relationships? Relationships with your family, with your co-workers, at school, or might be even in this church. And then dare I ask, where stands your relationship with God? Is there any need for any kind of revision there, any kind of healing, any kind of repair work? The great thing is, there is grace the same grace that was afforded to the people when Moses sought God on their behalf. That grace is there for us so that our relationships can be repaired and we can go on to celebrate and have a bashment. No matter what state those relationships are in, God's grace is available and abundant and able to help us navigate the road to restoration. May God grant us grace. Grace to restore and repair our relationships, that we may be able to invite others to the party. Whether it's a wedding type party, very formal and elegant and all the rest of it, or to the bashment, which everybody can be part of. God's plan for us is for celebration, is for, as he says in John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. May it be so. Amen.
Loving God, the circle is wide, and so are our prayers. We open ourselves to you and acknowledge that if your community might be called a circle, there are times that we have walked out of the circle. We have turned our backs and sought to leave community through selfishness and greed, ego, and despair. We have ignored the hurt of others or taken on too much, thinking that our judgment is supreme and that our power needs to be maintained. Oh God, we confess to walking, even running, away from you. help us turn back to the center. Let us experience the circle growing wider, that it might include us even as we are lost. Let us stop fighting and come home. We pray, God, that none will stand alone, so our hearts open up to the isolated and the lonely, those who struggle with mental health and physical disability. God, may our siblings, your children, not stand alone, but may they be surrounded with love and support, understanding and grace. May we stand, sit, lie down, or simply be with those who feel outside of the circle. And God, some of us are outside the circle. At least that's how it feels. And not even because we've walked away. We don't know how we got here. We just know that we feel left out. And we pray to be brought in, included and loved. We don't say it out loud, but we feel it. We want to be in. God, may the circle be wide. May it touch far horizons, embracing great and small, and may you be at the center of the circle, as well as on the edges, bringing us in and bringing us together. God, as we speak, love, and act in the world, may we do so lovingly. Let us separate people from policies and governments. May we see the individuals who love their children, help their neighbors, and want to live safely and justly. Let us be broad in our expressions of love and understanding, and let us resist the narrowness and inhumanity that comes with slogans and bitterness. Remind us again and again that grief or support on behalf of one side does not mean hatred for the other. And let us recognize that you do not choose sides. You choose life, abundant life. Help us to choose it as well. As we navigate our lives, let us never lose empathy, and let us sow seeds of hope. Let us be beacons of love. Let our dreams be larger than they were before. And let us share and shape those dreams with those who stand beside us or stand across the fence. And God, as much as we can do, let us remember that we are not alone. So God, we take some time to pray to you, asking for your presence and love to reach where we cannot, and love as we are not able. And loving God, let us hear your prayers, your word, and your voice guiding us as we live our lives in an ever-widening circle of love. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So let us go into the world. Let us go from this place knowing that God is with us. Let us go from this place knowing that the grace of God goes with us, that God's grace goes with you, so that you might repair and restore relationships and allow others to feel comfortable in your presence and in the presence of the God you represent. So let us go from this place and be God's representative in this world. Amen.